All right. I'm going to call this meeting to order, the regular session of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. It's 6 o'clock and we don't need a roll call, do we anymore? Okay. Thanks.
Commissioner Newman. Here. Commissioner Coleman.
Present.
Commissioner Higgins.
Wouldn't miss it.
Commissioner Benson.
Present.
And President Dale.
Here. All right, so the Pledge of Allegiance.
Greg, will lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I like how we're all sync, in sync.
All right.
Okay, on green. Green is on.
Green is good.
And I would before we get started, I would like to welcome officially in open session Craig Benson to our board. Thank you very much for your service and coming on.
I appreciate the opportunity to serve the Harbor District and especially Division 4, City of Eureka, and the Community Services Districts of Samoa and Manila. And I look forward to, I want to just acknowledge Richard Marks and all his service and the seat that I'm filling. This time, thank you, Richard, for all your hard work, and to all the commissioners and staff who I'm riding the shoulders of as a new commissioner. So much work has been done so far, and I look forward to helping move that forward. And I just want to just say, just so you know, kind of where you don't have to decode me over a year, I believe firmly in all three aspects of the Harbor District's mission, the commercial aspect, the recreation component, and the conservation component. And I think that they are inextricably linked, and I don't think it's one without the other. I think they all feed each other for a healthy communities and healthy Humboldt Bay. So I'm going to be working towards all those things in my time here. And as you know, I come more from the conservation and recreation side of it. So I will be making sure that as we're moving forward with Mid Energy and Aqua Farms, that we're not losing track of the other aspects of the mission as well. And look forward to learning from all of you. You're way ahead of me, and so I'll be playing catch up. Thank you for having me.
I wouldn't say we're way ahead of you, but thank you for that and saying that. And I applaud that. So Larry, item 7, election of board president, vice president, and secretary.
Yes, it's that time of year, and so I'm going to leave it up to the board to self nominate and elect who they are. Currently, Commissioner Dale is president, Commissioner Newman is vice president, and Commissioner Higgins is secretary.
Secretary.
Are you secretary?
Yeah.
And Commissioner Coleman is secretary. That's right. Yeah. That's the last.
I want to nominate the incumbents.
I will second that.
Second, yeah. You want to keep doing it, Greg?
I would. I would like to do it one more year to get through this lease and this negotiation. Sorry, with Crowley. I would really appreciate it too.
Well, just know that your fellow commissioners really appreciate you as chair. You did a good job with gavel at the dais, but also. You really exert influence and you care. You make things happen, maximizing the leverage you have in the office.
My office.
I'd like to agree that Greg's did a great job. It has been noticed that I'm around a lot for signing things, and I've been sort of asked to be secretary if you'd be willing to be vice chair.
I'll swap.
If that's okay with the motion maker and the
second. Yeah, it's okay with me and with my second. So
amend that motion.
Yeah, I'm happy to be vice chair. I definitely enjoyed my time as chair, but support Greg wholeheartedly.
I enjoyed your time as chair as well.
But I'm in favor of that.
So we have a motion, a second. Any other discussion?
Well, I think we do a public now.
No, we don't. Nobody, no Zoom on public, only public here.
Oh, they're only viewing. Okay. My bad.
Yeah, they can only watch there. They have to come here to talk. So any discussion other than that?
Let's get some stuff done this year.
Yeah, we got a lot on our plate. All right. So I'll call a vote. All in favor of the present slate of Dale as president, Newman as secretary, and Coleman as vice chair. Or vice president. I'm not sure how that works. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? I vote aye. So motion passes. Moving on to item 8. Ryan, you want to talk to us about closed session?
Yes, there is no reportable action taken during tonight's closed session.
All right. We are moving on to public comment at this point in our agenda. The public is welcome to comment on items not agendized on this agenda. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak on items not on this agenda? Seeing none, we're going to move on to the consent calendar. This is adopting the minutes.
I make a motion that we move the consent calendar.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Any discussion from the public? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? This is going to go really fast without roll calls. Abstention. You can abstain, yes.
Yeah, I'd like to abstain just because I wasn't a commissioner at the last meeting.
Very good.
I can't verify the veracity of those minutes.
Very good. Yes, good for you. One abstention. Moving on to item 11, communication, reports, and correspondence received. Larry, take it away.
So we have two correspondents. I believe those are in your packet. One, we received a resolution from the Wiat tribe affirming their ancestral territory as an informational item for the board. And then we also received a letter from the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District regarding the water supply needs for Redwood Marine Terminal 2. Basically, in Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, they would, because of the significant development that is taking place on the new terminal project, they'd like to meet and discuss kind of are their water needs, because they want to plan their infrastructure accordingly. And so staff is going to meet with them. It is possible that they have a subcommittee of their board, and it could be that we end up inviting the offshore wind subcommittee to meet if they have a subcommittee of their board. So that's the correspondence that we've received.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thanks for passing that on to us as well. I enjoyed Ted's letter. Is that all you have for your report?
No, that was the,
I didn't think it was.
You're not getting off that easy. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers survey vessel is in port right now. They're doing the surveys of the entire federal navigation channel, including the entrance. And so it's really timely with all these storms. I think that, it's going to be interesting to see what's happening there in the bottom of the entrance with these waves, wave after wave after wave, just continually hitting us. On the one hand, I think that the timing couldn't be better. I was talking to Leroy Zerling, the chair of Harbor Safety Committee, because we have a ship that's coming in on the 17th. And so the timing of the survey vessel is really kind of critical, because it's going to help us and the bar pilots to make sure that we have the safe navigation. I'm a little bit concerned because the Army Corps of Engineers is going to use this data to come up with as they prepare for the West Coast dredging contract that they issue. And we're not through with the storms yet. And so it's kind of, is the question, is this going to be the actual volumes that they're going to need to take out, or do they need to come back again, with all these storm conditions? And so anyway, that's just one of the concerns that that I have. But at the same time, I'm really glad they're here, because the timing is perfect because the vessels here and the bar pilots are very happy, and Green Diamond as well, that they're in port and going to take those surveys.
We've begged them for years to be here this time of year, and they're mm-hmm. here, so good on them.
Exactly.
Well, and we've also kind of gotten them to share the data in time and fashion. I think that that's still kind of in place because we need to do one.
Yep. And so this morning, this afternoon, I met with Leroy and Zerling and was basically telling him the same thing. Number one, we want to try to get the not the final data, but actually from the survey crew itself, what are they seeing on the ground so that we can use it in real time? Because the Army Corps, even though they do really quick turnaround, because it has to be all peer reviewed and everything, the official data, it takes about 2 weeks to get the official. And that will be after the vessel comes into port. And so the Army Corps has been great. Everything that we have worked with them on, they've come through. And so as part of that vein, the next week we're having a Harbor Safety Committee meeting on the 19th. And we've sort of coordinated with the Army Corps of Engineers, and Colonel Arnett is going to come to the Harbor Safety Committee. And what we've kind of worked with the Army Corps of Engineers is that we're going to set up the meeting so that we get a report from Noyo Harbor and then Trinidad, Crescent City, the Eureka Marina, and the Harbor District. And so all of the ports get a chance to give an update in harbors and then directly to the colonel. And then the colonel is going to kind of give an update. And then the plan is to have some dialogue back and forth. Really, it's an opportunity for some of these smaller ports like Trinidad and Noyo Harbor, because they don't normally get that opportunity to have this communication. So Aaron, I think, is helping us with communication with Noyo. I've already talked to Crescent City. And so all that is kind of in the works. Also at the Harbor Safety Committee, you may recall there was an incident with the fuel barge that hit the South Jetty. And the Oscar program requested that we have a subcommittee and that really kind of worked on that. And so the Coast Guard, the Harbor District, the tugboat operators, Oscar program, we all met and we had subcommittee meetings. And so out of that, we're likely to develop some best management practice for a couple of areas of concern that have been identified, namely the South Jetty, where we get shoaling and also high surf, and then also Rock and Roll Alley, that there may be some specific parameters when there's high surf conditions and also low visibility of what may need to happen as far as techniques and whether they enter and exit the bay. And so I wanted to give the board an update on that, but the Harbor Safety Committee has been actively engaged in that.
And Craig. Craig may not know that barges don't need a pilot. All of our fuel pumps in here are barges. So this is kind of different than the piloting ships that come in with ships.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll also give you the acronym check.
Oscar,
the Office of or Oil Spill Response Prevention and Response.
CDF.
Yeah, there you go. It took me a couple of tries. But yeah.
Yep. And so the Harbor Safety Committee is actively engaged, has a couple of subcommittees. We just did, our staff, Rob, and our staff did a complete update, went through the entire Harbor Safety Plan. It hadn't been updated for some time. And then the plan is that we're going to be doing an update of the Harbor Safety Plan over the next year. And part of that Harbor Safety Plan is really we're gearing up for this offshore wind and all the additional activities. And what are the needs for harbor safety components that are going to be associated with the new traffic, et cetera. So I wanted to give you that update. We've also been working with CAPA, the California Association of Port Authorities, the 13 ports, and actively meeting with them. I've mentioned before that they have, at our request, they've established an offshore wind subcommittee. It's become a priority for the legislative area to support offshore wind. The other ports are actively engaged in this. And so we're on that and really actively working with them. Nordic Aqua Farms permits. With that, we're anticipating that Nordic is going to have their permits by July of 2023, and that the lease agreement with them would be fully in effect on October 1st of 2023. And so I wanted to give you that update on those. With Nordic, and it's something that we've had in the back of our wheelhouse for some time, but Nordic has asked us to look into the foreign trade zone. And so Rob and I have a meeting with Nordic tomorrow. And because there's a foreign trade zone that is in Humboldt Bay, and in particular, when they get into operation and a lot of their equipment, specialized equipment, will probably be coming from Europe and other places. And with the offshore wind, we really want to gear the foreign trade zone up so businesses can take advantage of that status. And so Rob and I are meeting with that, and I want to let you know that the foreign trade zone is actually in the city of Eureka, is the one that controls the foreign trade zone. And so the Harbor District, City of Eureka, and the County of Humboldt have all been actively engaged in the foreign trade zone. And so that's something that we're going to be actively working on.
Explain what, how that works.
I'm not going to go into too much detail on this, but the foreign trade zone is basically, it's from the Department of Commerce. There's only certain specialized designated areas that get to have foreign trade zone. And what it means is there's tax advantages for companies and sort of exports and the tariffs that they pay the federal government. If you bring those commodities into those specialized foreign designated foreign trade zones, then there's tax benefits and other benefits that these companies can get. And it makes us more attractive, you know, as a port to have those kinds of facilities, something that we worked on for a long, long time. But because we don't do much exports or imports, it only affects imports, doesn't affect the export. So it's only for the import of commodities. And so historically with Green Diamond, they export, and so they don't take advantage of the foreign trade zone, but it applies to imports.
It's about value add.
Is there a brick and mortar federal office for the foreign trade zone, or is it run through the Chamber of Commerce, or is it just?
City of Eureka is in control of it, but it's really is non-active at this point, and we need to get it.
Everybody uses it.
And then.
And would that be the customs, or also based out of the Bay Area?
And so with the new market tax credits, as we met with them this week, and again, this is all about this March 9th, 2023, where the 7-year period is coming up. So we met with them, and what the plan is that we were going to, the plan is basically by the end of this month, they've said they're gonna give us the first draft of the documents as far as what's called the put call. And then the goal is that by one day after the March 9th, so March 10th, that they would basically transfer approximately $8 million of loans over to the Harbor District. And then the Harbor District has the full discretion of what we are going to do with that. And so the Humboldt Bay Development Association and staff and the Harbor District, we're going to have some key decisions to make in the next couple of months. You'll see later on the agenda, there's an agenda item to appoint a member. The Development Association has a meeting set up to start to review and analyze those things. But it's really something we've all been waiting for a long time. And so that's kind of is my report. Then I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
Larry, can I ask you a couple questions before you stop? Yeah. Okay. Just about the correspondence, resolution 2228 from the Wiat tribe. What's the Harbor District's response going to be to that? I know it's informational for us, but has a letter gone out acknowledging receipt or a letter of support? What does Harbor District point to do?
As soon as I received this, I transmitted back to the Wiat tribe, and it said that we plan to implement what they had said. And so per state law, all referrals that we get, we send to the Wiat tribe, we send it to the Bear River tribe, and we will send it to the
Blue Lake
Rancheria. And so We said that's what we do per state law. And so we will send those out, and we intend to have a government-to-government relationship with them as outlined in the agreement.
All right.
Or in their resolution.
It pleases me to hear. Thank you. So when you give us correspondence, you probably already responded. This isn't a question I should ask every time. When you keep
no, it's a question you ask every time.
Yeah, it's good to follow up and keep them on their toes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, exactly.
I think that letter was a blanket letter. We've always done that with all the tribes, but I think it was a blanket letter, and we were included on in the blanket. But it was good to get the letter.
It's not the Harbor District's role to say whose jurisdiction it is. Our role is to send out referrals and to hear correspondence from all the parties, and then to analyze those and then take those into consideration on a case by case basis.
Great, thank you. And then on the Humble Bay Municipal Water District, it sounded like the action item was their concern is that the 6-inch pipe may not be adequate for the development needs for Nordic Aqua Farms. You showed me that location and just discussed upgrades. So is the action item to invite them to the next meeting for the Nordic Aqua Farms to discuss that?
Or? So there's a huge demand from Nordic, and we need a new customer. Because Simpson used to be Giant.
Right. Yeah.
And so then they're trying to, if they're going to supply Nordic, and that is going to be a very substantial client, then they probably want to know what are the additional demands, because right, the system always needs maintenance and upgrade. So then they judge what they're going to do for maintenance and their system and upgrading, depending on their projection clients. So we probably don't know offhand like what the offshore wind terminals will require,
right?
But just make us figure it out.
Or you get them in the loop, yeah.
So
yeah.
What the plan is, and just a staff report, so I don't want to go into too much detail, but it's not necessarily associated with the Nordic Aqua Farms, because that's already taken place. What we're right, talking about is for the new terminal, basically the 168 acres of that area. And so what is happening is that we've already done a whole variety of technical reports, including like what the electricity, the sewer, the water, all of that utilities as part of the environmental impact report. Then you have to analyze what is the anticipated usage of all of those utilities. And then what's going to happen is we're going to finalize the draft environmental impact report. Then we're going to send that out for referral. And when we have all of that data, and all there'll be specific reports that will have here's exactly how we came up with those calculations. It will go to PG&E, it will go to all of these different entities, and then we'll get feedback from them. And that's when we'll have that detailed referral consultation, just like we talked about with the tribes. We'll also send it out to the tribes and get feedback from them on those aspects. We're just not quite there yet. We're still in the analysis stage. We think that's going to occur probably around the June, July time period.
Okay, thank you.
And so I apologize. I'm going to just to say that we have the special meeting, and then whether the board wants to talk about that data that or not, transferring the Roundhouse property over to the Timber Heritage Association. So I wanted to give that report. And then, Chris, I'm going to turn this over to you.
Okay.
Your friend.
Yes, his friend.
Oh, okay. You know, I try to take pictures of wildlife on the island. It's always fascinating how much wildlife we have here. So in the event, on December 16th, we got a call about, maybe 11:50 to midnight. We had a gentleman who went on a little bit of a parade here in the bay. He left him a picture of the tuna. Brought it over to the marina. And we can see the nightlife in front of the boat. It's big as a here in the Aguro. And his house right here at the top of the dock. There have been to it. There have been to dry out. You know, the man has left it again. There's not going to be just out in the PD. And the couch in the desert was put out. That they will come to put control over such back and ultimately I think quite a bit of damage. I've been on the Renegade down in Puro. They have some other boats here in the marina. Thanks to ECD for responding so far at their president and coordinating to communicate with them about the issue. So we had an earthquake everybody knows, we didn't do bad at all. Fares too bad at all. We had to move open fire lines that are on T2. With SHN, we had quite a bit of siding come off of the boiler building. And then we had a shared boiler line here, which unfortunately shut the restaurant down for a day. But all in all, we fared pretty darn well. So here's the smokestack on the left-hand side. Despite the paint, some of those circumferential lines are actually bands that are on that. But the other fractures in the stack are what we're going to start looking at. So we bought some crack monitors that will be installed on the smokestack. And over time, we can see the movement. So Mike Foggett from SHN, our district engineer, is heading that up for us. And on the recovery boiler, you can just see some of the siding that's come down. You can imagine how dangerous, 40, 50, 100, 120 feet it is when that siding falls. So staff is currently installing a perimeter fence to prevent access from that area. I think there might be a couple more photos after that. Yeah, there's more of the siding. That's at about the third floor. And then just the boiler. I don't know how interested you are in the photographs, but I would try to include it. So then we had a little bit of storm damage. Unfortunately, we lost our roof at RMT1 on the warehouse. We had a girder come off the RMT1 dock, as did many of the timber frame docks around the community. Leroy and our staff have been chasing timbers for a couple of weeks now in the water. We had some fallen trees here and some pretty high storm surge at Shelter Cove, which is repeating itself again, as I'm hearing. So a few more photos. There's just us towing one of the timbers out of the water. On this other side, you'll recognize that we've got just a little bit of roofing left in that old warehouse. That whole section to your right is all barren plywood. So Sebastian Elright, who's a tenant here and at Rowan Range Terminal 1, he recognized that we had roofing debris all over. He had extra staff that didn't have anything to do. So he brought Palace out there and had directed his staff to pick up all the roofing.
Buy him lunch.
We got some pretty awesome tenants and some real stand-up folks. I want to acknowledge Sebastian and his team. To the left is a picture of a pretty much a rotten stump. This is Max Emery, our new harbor maintenance worker three, bucking up a tree. It's right here near the entrance. Unfortunately, we've got this and three other trees that we're going to have to take down because they're all rotten in the stumps. This call came 10 o'clock at night. Restaurant closed. Couldn't leave the island because of that tree across the road. So ultimately, they chose to drive over the lawn, and we were perfectly okay with that at that point in time. Can't buck up trees in the dark. So we did get them out, got everybody home. And I believe that's it for here. The next should be Shelter Cove. So that's the reported log jam at the end of the ramp. And then this is the status over the last update photograph we received. Scott Kelsey, who works for the Shelter Cove Fisherman's Preservation, he's kind of the operator down there, owns an excavator. He brought it from Weaverville, brought it over, and is charging us $125 an hour. No fee to mobilize or demobilize. So I'm real grateful for that. That is a super value for the district. He's very involved out there. He had the equipment. So he went to Weaverville, picked it up, brought it back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
South winds always play havoc.
Yeah. They got more of it coming, too.
And then finally, one last little reminder, and we don't have a lot of folks here tonight, but thank you for being with us. Just a reminder to people out in the water. Robert and I were coming in the other day from doing some cleanup on the bay, and we found this vessel adrift out in Humboldt Bay. And these folks had, they had life vests. Of course, they weren't on. They had no radio, no lights, no flares. They didn't have a trip plan. Nobody knew where they were. And they were hanging on to another vessel because they had no power. So just a general notice out to everybody. When you're going on the water, have a plan where you're headed and have all the emergency preparedness you can, because things really do happen.
Rob, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, the county approved a $30,000 budget to do a bay-wide master plan to prepare for offshore wind. So recognizing that our project's going to bring opportunities for the rest of the bay, the county economic development department is now funding a study, and the district and the county are co-managing that project. The consultant should be on board in the next couple of weeks. The eelgrass project with Caltrans is going well, a lot of good coordination there. Also been coordinating with the city of Eureka to look at cooperative mitigation and conservation projects. So looking at their projects and ours, work together to make the meet better and work on cooperation in the future. The preliminary treatment model for the intake study is good. So the results should be coming in pretty soon. And then the Spartina eradication project is also likely to be beginning in February. Thank you. Talk for hours about Morick and also.
Well, it's good to see the study on radiating benefits economically, because there was a misperception that the district was actually competing with private interests by spurring development. And in fact, we're facilitating private-public partnerships, and there'll be kind of distributing benefits for other folks with CDI. So this is good. I'm glad we're both examining that, and that'll help people to better understand the benefits. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, Rob, I want to acknowledge that Dr. Melanie McCaver is with us from the Planning Commission. And my follow-up question is, what are some of the potential outcomes from this collaboration with the county?
Yeah, so it's really looking at the needs of the offshore wind industry and then the capacity of the bay. So which coastal and industrial sites have availability or are vacant or underutilized relative to what the industry needs. So blade manufacturing or tower manufacturing or ship repairs, there's going to be a whole suite of new industries that currently don't exist. For instance, the mooring lines that just hold down the floaters needs to be manufactured, and there's currently nowhere that manufactures those. It's really not being done. So that's a whole new industry that needs to be invented. And so Campbell Bay play a role in that.
And the raw materials will be shipped, not trucked. The other thing is, I don't think it has to be CDI property. It can be just industrial property, period.
Right.
It should be, at least that should be included in that. All right, Mindy, you got anything to say? Anything you want to add? Okay, so that's all staff reports. Moving on to district council.
Nothing for me tonight. Did all my talking in closed session.
All right. Commissioner and committee reports. Mr. Newman.
Well, crab season is almost upon us. In fact, the season's open. We're just on strike as a crab fisherman. The crab fishing community is very, very concerned right now about the recent weather events. A lot of south wind, a lot of south current. The river's been up, and there could be some shoaling at the end of the jetty, and we've got the entire fleet about to go set their pots. If you ever get a price deal with the buyers, for some reason the crabs are thought to be worth about half as much as they were last year by the buyers. So we're not there yet, but we're very concerned about safety and getting going and hoping the weather cooperates. Other than that, it was really nice to see the property transfer ceremony last Saturday. Just paid Matt and see those folks get to experience your dream over there. So that's about all for me.
Mr. Newman, a follow-up question. I see all the boats loaded with crab pots, and they're looking ready to go whenever the green light is. Are you being facetious when you say that the fishermen are on strike, or are they just putting caution ahead of the
island? It's a pretty dynamic situation with the different boats' capacities, ability to deal with weather. And we are on strike. There is no price that has been officially offered yet by all the buyers.
Two and a quarter, you can't pay for gas.
Well, and I don't want to talk about price in this situation because it is an ongoing situation between the buyers and the fishermen association and whatnot. But we're kind of being told that our crabs aren't worth as much because of the economy and whatnot. And we don't agree as fishermen. So hopefully, they'll decide to pay us a better price and the weather will get better and we'll all be safe and fail.
This is an annual dance.
Yeah, and last year it was really smooth and the price was historically high. So everybody's experiencing a little bit of a deja vu from the previous 10 years.
Is domoic acid a concern this year?
No. There's a little bit of an issue in Southern Oregon that's presumably being cleaned up, but our area is all tested clean in California. And the whale entanglement issues also are becoming less of an issue as the winter gets pushing the whales offshore and the whales are migrating away. So everything's pretty much a go except the price and the weather.
And the season goes to July.
It can go as late as July 15th. And that's what it does on the books. But in the last probably 5 years, the risk of whale entanglements have curtailed the season by about 3 or 4 months. It's been ending somewhere April.
And it's front end loaded probability.
Yeah, the majority of the crabs are caught in the first couple of weeks.
So you have times on your side. So.
It is. Yeah, and my biggest concern is always safety.
Yeah,
there's a lot of small boats that crab, put 10,000 pounds of crab pots on their decks. You go out and try to set them and get across the bar. And right now we don't know if the bars has been shoaled. You know, the shoaling doesn't really happen because the river's up and there's sediment going in. The swell in the bottom becomes somewhat fluid, a lot of south current, and all the material can move into the channel and become a very dangerous situation.
So, pretty dangerous the other day.
Yeah. I wanted to take you out, but you wouldn't go.
Only done once. Is that it?
That's it for me.
Mr. Coleman. My turn. Yeah. Yeah, Steve said, it's kind of scary. Hopefully that'll settle down. Let's see, we had a few meetings. Had a meeting with some of the local construction trades and other than that, not a whole lot to report. Just say this is some of the developments again. I'm going to stop and keep charging.
Very good. Greg?
Nothing.
Patrick?
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed the transfer of the property ceremony and always impressed to get into the Railroad Museum and the old roundhouse. And, you know, they're constantly working on it, and the dedication and passion for their artifacts is really endearing. And, we endured a lot of contentiousness over 10 years of negotiation to make this happen. I think it's probably more like 14. But it was all peaches and cream. And I want to wish them the best. I'm really glad that this deal has finally been consummated. And I hope that their dream for a first-class museum and a working railroad in some footprint is realized. And they have some new youthful leadership. So they've got a youth movement. And so I'm very hopeful. And it was a good party. No champagne, but at least we had cake. I got a chance to cultivate Commissioner Benson. We went out to lunch, and I'm very, very enthused to have him joining the board. He has a lot of capacity, has a lot of understanding of the Bay, and I think that his service would be of great benefit. So we're lucky that Craig has chosen to serve in the 4th District, and he's stepping into big shoes with Richard Marks, but Richard was ready to pass the baton, and Craig's a quick study. And then, of course, there is the rain. It's like you have to watch out what you wish for. I have to admit, I can't say no to rain, no matter how much there is. And I'm always so thrilled when I go out and there's the prospect of rain, and then it rains. Because for so many years now, it's been disruptive. But one of the real things that was disorienting to me was looking over at the Eel River Channel, not seeing any kind of bed at all. It's just solid flowing water, and it's very impressive. River's doing work. It's blowing fine sediment to the sea. That actually could have a kind of negative
implications for, you know, our enterprises here in the Bay, but that's what rivers do. And so I'm glad that we've got the water. I've got some early indications that the coho were showing up. So this was like the fish that was like one of the most endangered. Now all of a sudden, it seems like they're making a resurgence. We've got the water right around Christmas, which is their peak spawn time. Little concern about the Chinook not getting enough water to get all the way up everywhere. So now the main river comes up with the pigs. But you know, they've been around millions of years and they understand the river and its ups and downs better than any of us. So more worried about humans than fish. Uh-oh. All right.
Can I go ahead?
Yeah, please.
All right. I didn't think I had anything to say and actually do. I just want to give a shout out to we got tribal chairman Ted Hernandez for sending us the correspondence, Awe Lo, and also to Sherry Water District for sending us the correspondence. And I've been going through these 9 pages of balance sheets that were included in my packet, and I didn't see $5 anywhere for the sale of the property to the Timber Heritage folks.
I'm wondering where
the $5 are, and could $5 possibly be framed? And I think that might be a nice thing to have.
Might have had a fin. I'd have lent it to him.
That's a good suggestion. I think that's a great suggestion.
Well, did they ever pay off?
They swore on Saturday that they did. They gave somebody the money. I haven't seen the $5, Chris.
Just saying.
All right. Well,
I got an email.
Get the $5.
I'll email them back.
If Pete said he paid.
We did have some escrow charges, so maybe just on sale.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll get an extra $5.
Well, I think we should hang $5 up. Agreed. I enjoyed our meeting with the local contractors around here regarding the PLA and making sure that we have some ability to allow for core employees working in this port. I'm glad that they came forward, and I thought it was a productive discussion. I also did not enjoy the earthquake. And I've kind of enjoyed the storms, although a little bit goes a long ways at this point. But let's just pray for everybody to be safe. It's a lot easier to strike when it's blowing 40. Okay, if it was sunny and 70 and it was all flat calm, look a lot nicer, wouldn't it? The price look a little bit better, but we'll see. I enjoyed going to the THA and seeing those folks. And it's been our silliness, their silliness over 14 years was one of the reasons I ran to be on this board, was to get through that process and not have to have that a contentious item. It was a contentious item my first 5 years on the board, and it was didn't need to be. And we got through it. And they stepped up and did a lot. This staff stepped up and did a lot for them. And they wouldn't be where they're at without a few of their members and a few of our members working together to get that done. And it says a lot about this organization. It says a lot about that organization. So I'm really proud of you guys for getting that done. And I too, Pat, look forward to riding the train to Eureka. If it ever happens,
I take Manila.
Okay, I'll give you Manila. Yeah.
Right on the back of a turbine blade.
They just walk across the bay on a turbine blade the way they're going. All right. So I think that's again.
I know. Everyone else is going back.
All right.
And since we're talking about some extracurricular activities, is like talking about the resilience of the community, and you know, you mentioned the earthquake. If you want to say the organization that I work for, RCEA, the microgrid that we helped construct out of the airport operated through past the earthquake had the Coast Guard station operational, kept the puppies warm at the animal shelter, and kept the airport open while the rest of the country was without power. And also down in Rio Del, which was one of our hardest hit communities, RCA had helped the city hall and sheriff's department put on solar and storage down there, and they were able to maintain power at that facility to be out. So some of these things that we're doing for resilience, we're not that we do out in the peninsula is another one of those things.
Well said. Well said.
Sorry I didn't make it out to the Timber Heritage. Found out about it a little bit later and had some family obligations.
Well, thanks for showing up at Riddell because they got hammered.
They did.
The city of Riddell got hammered in this last earthquake. All right. Can we move on now? Anybody else got anything else to say? Okay. Unfinished business. We have none. New business. Consider adopting resolution 2023-01, a resolution declaring the governing body and volunteers shall be deemed employees of the district for the purpose of providing workers' compensation coverage.
So moved.
Second.
Tell me what you got, Larry.
So basically, it costs us $226.80 to have the board annually to have the board covered under workers' compensation. And then we also have a volunteer, fire department. And for every 500 hours, it costs the district an additional $147.25. That's money very well spent, in my opinion. And so with that, staff would recommend that you adopt resolution 2023-01 so we can get our volunteers covered by workers' compensation.
Suggests to me.
There must be some mistake, or you're missing some zeros.
Oh, exactly.
Sorry. Well, they haven't ever had a claim. Can I have a? I have a motion and a second. Would anybody like to any more discussion? And would the public like to comment? Now that we have public. No, it's not. But let's do this item first, and then we'll revisit the consent calendar for public comment. No comments on the compensate workers' comp insurance volunteer.
Call the question.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Seeing none, motion passes unanimously. So, it's a roll call. It's a resolution. Ryan?
We shall have to do a roll call. Okay. Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yes.
Commissioner Benson?
Yes.
And Alyssa Thiel?
Yes, please. All right. We're going to go back to item 10. There's public here that would like to. Eleven E1. Typically, we don't take public comment on correspondence or on.
Well, during the general public comment, a member of the public can pull an item for second consideration. So,
this is communication, not consent. But
we can do whatever we want.
Take it under public comment.
Can we take it under public comment, please? Please speak into the microphone. Give us your name.
Thank you. Thank you for that earlier acknowledgement, Commissioner Benson, and congratulations. I'm actually here on behalf of the tribal government that employs me, the Bear River Band, and my name is Melanie McGaffer. And I had a comment on the correspondence received from the Weup tribe and a question as well. So I was wondering what the interpretation of the commission was on that item. Seeing that it wasn't discussed and public comment wasn't available. So the interpretation could be that any other Wiat tribe would not have the ability to, have request cultural monitoring and all of the things itemized in the letter, which you have. or it could be interpreted as any tribe that isn't recognized as a Wiat tribe that does contain Wiat tribal people of Wiat ancestry. That's a more generous interpretation. So I was wondering if we could hear what the interpretation of the commission is of that letter. And my comment would be that there are three federally recognized Wiat tribes. There's the Bear River Band, the Wiat tribe, and the Blue Lake Rancheria. And all three have tribal jurisdiction over the Wiat territory. That's all. Thank you.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think.
Is that what you stated, Larry?
Yeah, what I had what I had said to the board when that question was asked by the board was that our intentions is that we're required by state law to send all referrals out to all three tribes. And our intention is that we would send it to the Wiat tribe, the Blue Lake Rancheria, and the Bear River Rancheria for all referrals and do government-to-government relations with them. And then when we receive comments, we treat all projects and all consultations on a case-by-case basis, and we would look at them individually, separately, and then make a decision at that point. But that's what we're required to do per state law. It's my interpretation, and that's what our intentions are at the staff level. We leave it up to the tribes to determine their own jurisdictions. We will follow what our typical protocol has been, and that's what our intentions are to continue.
We have had a history of transparency and engagement with tribes, and a particularly good working relationship with the PR. So I think I'm proud of it.
I want to share that I also had the same concern when I read it. I thought House Bear River and Lake Rancheria are going to feel about it and what might be seen as exclusivity. But again, this is just, we're not making decisions on this resolution. It was provided to us. It's just correspondence that we're acknowledging the receipt of. And as Larry said, we will continue to follow the protocols to reach out to the tribal heritage preservation officers of each of the tribes for any actions.
Thank you. Moving on to item 13B, consider adopting resolution 2023-02, a resolution accepting funds from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, Office of Spill Prevention and Response for oil spill prevention and response equipment, and to authorize the executive director to execute the grant agreement.
Second.
Oh, motion and second. Larry, you want to miss? Chris?
Sure. So we have, for a prior grant, received two oil spill response trailers. One is stationed here at Willie Island Marina that covers Humboldt Bay, and one is down at Shelter Cove that we store at the Resort Improvement District number one. As you might imagine, accidents happen. We have spills in Humboldt Bay. We respond to those typically in and around the marina, but oftentimes we're called to respond to other areas. So our current trailer is in need of replenishment. We go through a great amount of booms, pads, and at this point, equally as important is personal protective gear. So we reached out through the recommendation of Jeff Dayton to Cindy Murphy from their finance department, and they offered a $10,000 mini grant. It's actually $5,000, but we asked that we could extend it because we have to do some regional replenishment. So included in your board packet is a grant agreement awarding us reimbursement up to $10,000 so we can replenish our oil spill prevention and response trailers. I stumbled with that myself. and buy some new protective gear. In all hazmat situations, in certain circumstances, we have quite a bit of gear we have to wear and put on. So it does require a resolution. I'm sure you'll support us in that. If you have any questions, we'll answer them, but I think this looks pretty straightforward.
Deputy Director Mickelson, who do we thank for writing the grant application?
This was a great one. So this was a simple phone call and a couple of emails. And if anything, I think Mindy gets the heavy lifting because with all grants, it's easy to get them, but then we have to do the administrative side of it. And I think we often fall short of thanking Mindy for those efforts. So Jeff Dayton from the local Fish and Wildlife Office helped us to secure it. Cindy Murphy at Fish and Wildlife, I believe she's out of San Francisco or Sacramento. I'm not 100% certain on her address. And again, you know, the hard part with these grants is when you actually have to do the administration of Mali County. So
I just have another question in my tour today that Larry was so generous to give me all the way down to Fields Landing and King Salmon and RMT 1 and 2. But I did get to see the trailer for the emergency response. And it struck me, wouldn't it be prudent to have an emergency responder kit preset on one of the vessels? Or would it take up room that's needed otherwise? Or I just wondered, it made me wonder.
Certainly,
you know,
absolutely.
Hearing you today talk about you know, someone running into the South Jetty.
So Fire One, which is our fire response vessel, actually is equipped with quite a bit of equipment.
Oh, it does.
And so it has oil response pads on it. I don't believe it currently has boom. We do have the ability in the hole to house some boom. It has absorbent materials, and it has quite a volume of PPE. The Port Authority vessel, which is more of our kind of our search and rescue vessel, quite frankly, it's a little easier to maneuver. We've had quite a bit of success with that. Has minimum capacity, so it has just pads on it. Typically, what would happen is the trailer would be towed to a location that we would work out of, and equipment would then be ferried to people working on the water. And most often, if we had a spill of that size, the local MSRC office, Marine Spill Response Corporation, Eric Gurney and his team would be called. That's the protocol. U.S. Coast Guard also has what they call the Marine Service Detachment. Am I saying that correctly? I think I am. And that is currently, right now we have two veterans will be leaving our area. We have Stacy Garcia coming online, but they report. So typically when a spill comes in, number one, take a look at what we've got and see if it's something that's a quick mop-up or if it's a reportable incident, report it to the National Response Center. We then call the on-duty officer from U.S. Coast Guard MSD, followed by Jeff Dayton or those people that would be on call for OSPR with California Department of Fish and Wildlife and other agencies if necessary, and then we do the cleanup effort. Most of those are done shoreside, actually. The bigger ones that are out on the water, you know, again, they are typically responded to by MSRC or another agency. But yes, we have a fair amount of supplies on the vessels.
Thank you.
Maybe I gave you too much of an answer. I apologize.
It's good.
But then just one last thing on that is that typically most of the oil spills, what happens a lot of times is that we don't know exactly where the oil is coming from. They're relatively minor, but we don't know where they're coming from. And so then Coast Guard goes in and they typically take a sample of the oil and then to see if they can, you know, track it down to a vessel or other thing, because the Coast Guard's responsible for enforcement and other things. And so overall, it's kind of a team effort. And our efforts are really as kind of as part of the first responder. And as Chris said, is that if it gets, if it's really out of control, you know, then, you know, there are teams that are stationed here, and all like ships are required to have a contract with a oil spill response prevention. You know, there's a whole system in place, and we're really kind of there to be the first ones on the scene to try to help to figure that out. And lastly, is that Chris does a great job really making sure that our employees have training in hazardous materials, because it's dangerous and dirty to work on these types of things. And so really keeping the training up to speed and those kinds of things is really sort of critically important for our staff.
When's the last time we did a test deployment?
Interesting question. So the last one we did as a group effort was in 2020. And it was sponsored by the local OSPR office, so Jeff Dayton, and MSRC participated, and our entire staff participated, including our administrative staff. And our staff here, we get practical response pretty regularly, because we do have spills in and around the marina. But I believe it was October when we actually started this grant application. we directed staff to take all of the boom out of the response trailer and do a dry layout in the field off here. We call it the Cub Scout field, and then in the shop area. And the reason for that exercise was, number one, to make sure we could deploy it, but also to look at the condition of the boom. And we did find out that we had quite a number of failed sections in one of our large booms, what they call the hard boom. So that's been taken out of service. We have adequate volume on the other hard, the newer of the hard boom. So group training, 2020, COVID, of course, prevented that. We're going to do a tabletop, which is where we'll coordinate with Chevron, Renner Petroleum, Valley Pacific, ourselves, Humboldt Bay Fire, OSPR, and the U.S. Coast Guard will lead it. And one other agency, and I'm not, I think it's still Humboldt Bay Fire, but it's Regional Hazmat. And we are going to do a response as if we had a large spill. And I think, you know, we don't know the location of that yet, but likely it'll be Chevron. Also, privately, ZNZ participates in those activities. And we also have U.S. Ecology here. It used to be called NRC. So oftentimes they're brought in.
Aaron? Just a little more on a background map. I'm a responder for MSRC, Marinesville Response Corporation, and there are two vessels at the Eureka Marina, one for booming oil, another for skimming. And we do trainings a couple times a year, and I work as a captain for one of those vessels, or a worker, if there's an event, through ZNZ. He handles the contract, basically, to keep people trained and ready for major spills in the bay. And those vessels are kept ready to go 24/7. So there's a pretty good response, not for a huge spill, but for something that's big enough to be skimmed. There's a response organization ready to go. And that's Eric that you, Chris mentioned earlier.
Thanks.
And I'll just say one other thing is not a training piece is, but I believe it was in 2021, the SUNUP ran up against the South Jetty, which was a commercial fishing vessel, and it sunk, and so the fuel tanks and other apparatus, and so there was a full response that was initiated by the Coast Guard, NOAA, Army Corps of Engineers actually brought in soundings because we were trying to find the fuel tanks. Full modeling. The Humboldt Bay has modeling areas that were set up. And as part of that, what there is that there are these areas that are called like sensitive receptors and like Taco Marsh and the oyster, like we were looking at like Taylor Seafood and Hog Island. They're actually like usually the first ones that go in and they deploy booms around those sensitive receptors. And so everybody really gets engaged. And in that incident, which was an actual incident, I participated in the command center, and it was by the Coast Guard. Like I said, it was a full OSPR and Coast Guard run operation, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers actually came up and deployed specific side scan sonars, and NOAA did full modeling of where the potential plume was. And so it was really good to see it not in a training incident, but really the whole operation in action. And it really worked in Humboldt Bay. And it's good to know that if we had a big incident, that we have the apparatus and everything ready in case there is a major incident.
So was there any deployed petroleum products?
There was deployed, but and this is off my memory, and so don't quote me on this, but I believe the determination was basically there was an outgoing tide, and so it was believed that most of the fuel ended up going out of the bay and not into the bay.
Did they ever find the boat or the tank?
We did find it, after much looking, and I believe ZNZ Marine did a number of drag lines, and we ended up dragging it off the beach at Fairhaven on the sand, if I remember.
Yeah, we actually had divers that went down and got a hold of a bunch of wreckage, and they closed the port. There was a ship that was trying to get in the bay. The Coast Guard will not open the port until we were sure the wreckage was clear of the channel. So we brought divers out, and actually the wreckage was in the Rock and Roll Alley area, just west of number 9. And it was pretty hairy. These divers had to go down in pretty rough conditions and get a hold of whatever they could. And we used one of the local Coos Bay tow boats to tow it up, and an excavator or a caterpillar or something towed it up on the beach, and then finished getting the wreckage out. And at that point, the bay could be reopened.
Yeah, they were Navy divers that they brought in, Navy divers to look at it. So it was a full on incident.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you heard it wasn't just a green buoy up the dock and sending.
No.
I didn't mention property.
Another story.
So roll call, I think.
Yeah, it's a resolution. Roll call, please. Oh, we didn't get any public comment. Would you like to comment?
No.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Benson.
Yes.
Commissioner Newman.
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman.
Yes.
And President Dale.
Yes. So the motion passes. We'll move on to item C. Consider appointing board member as a Harbor District representative on the Humboldt Bay Development Association to replace Richard Marks.
So as I had mentioned earlier, there's a lot of activity that's going to be taking place in the next couple of months. And, a couple of members of the board have extensive, experience with the Development Association. And so I had previously, Commissioner Newman was on the Humboldt Bay Development Association when it was initially formed. And so I had asked Aaron if he would consider going, and if the board would consider appointing Aaron if that was appropriate. But there is a lot of activity that's going to be taking place in the next couple of months with the Development Association. And then lastly, I just wanted to let you know that I believe included in the packet on the very, very last page is the list of committees and subcommittees. And so we're going to be reviewing that, not tonight, but really bringing it to your attention at the next meeting, because the committees that Commissioner Marks was on, we need to fill those. And then also it's an opportunity if the commission wants to move around or get off a committee and get on a new committee, or if there are committees that we don't currently have that the commission may want to consider having at some point in time. So I really included this in the packet as a heads up, so you can start to think about it over the course of the next month. But for tonight, we would ask you that if you would consider appointing Commissioner Newman to the Humboldt Bay Development Association.
Is that a great discussion?
I think we vote on this because it's a board appointed position. Is that
so moved?
That's correct.
I'll second.
I have a motion and second. Any discussion? So did Larry give you a good explanation of what the Humboldt Bay Development Association is? Can you recite it? Can you tell me what it is? Okay. I probably couldn't.
Nobody can.
So it is a product of the New Market Tax Credit, which is voodoo tax law that allows special districts to leverage money in replacement of development funds that were previously used to do similar projects, redevelopment funds, I guess. And so it allows a special district, and I believe any government agency can do it. I don't know that it's just special districts to leverage. They can borrow money on assets. It generally costs money to borrow the money, which is kind of interesting. But and then in order to do it, you have to have, it gives a tax break to someone. They sell that
plus capital.
Sorry, Patrick, you may be better.
So this is how we have Redwood Terminal 2. And now the Development Association is going to remain in existence, and so we could leverage another New Market Tax Credit. If there's like development that isn't covered by what's going on with Nordic or with wind farms, the CR, they want to do like an aquaculture training center. They will get along with that. So it's another vehicle to bring in assets for community economic development to add to the infrastructure on the small peninsula. So I think it's very useful. And
is it a 501c3?
Gives us flexibility and economic development.
It's a 501c3 as well. So it allows for, it's part of the voodoo tax law that allowed for us to get the money to rehabilitate the terminal too.
And it's not competitive, it's collaborative.
Yeah, if I could clarify just one thing. Everything you've said is correct. That is the reason why we set it up. But even after the new market tax credits go in, it's a whole nonprofit, and we reviewed the bylaws of it, and the Humboldt Bay Development Association is charged with economic development of Humboldt Bay. And so it can survive after the new market tax credit.
It has
set up
beyond the purpose of the Humboldt Bay Development
Association. Which, including recent use, it's probably in.
Yeah. And acquisitions and EPA, the EPA liability that we may take over as part of the acquisition of that property.
Does it have a lot of depth and breadth in terms of the membership of entities and agencies and tribes?
No, it doesn't. It's got a lot of requirements that the board be made up of specific parties, but it doesn't have a lot of depth or breadth. And we get to make up most of it. It has to have two seats.
We have two seats.
Yeah.
Currently, there's Commissioner Higgins, and then we'll fill this vacancy, which will be Harbor District Representative. And then there are three public members, which would be.
Which we appoint.
Which, no, the. It'll, it's
so the board.
Commissioner Marks is going from the commissioner seat, and at the next development association, he'll be a public member. And then Leroy Zerlang is on there, and then Archie of the Small Peninsula Fire District.
We're just going to continue to serve.
Dale.
Well, I think that's.
But we appoint all three of those, right?
It's very kind of Richard. He agreed that as long as we needed him.
And he could sit champion for Samoa. It's good to have him on there. Type of question.
You should go to a couple of those meetings and listen to them. It's interesting. Any comments from the public? Seeing none? All in favor? Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Would aye.
I have a general comment, if it's okay, just on committees in general, since I'm uh-huh. learning. I notice that there's a lot of committees for a relatively small commission, and the most commissioners are doing double and triple duty, not quadruple duty, on committees, and so I commend you for that. And so, of course, it makes me, I feel a little pressure to not be a deadbeat and to add assistance. And I know we'll talk about that next time, but my question is this, and this is to both Larry and you, Greg. Can participation in, like, for example, I'm part of the Sea Level Rise Institute,
mm-hmm.
based out of Cal Poly Humboldt, seems like having a Harvard commissioner being on that, might be wise, and also just sort of looking at recreation and trails, and I'm wondering, can I propose Absolutely. Being on committees that aren't created specifically by the Harbor District, but exist in the community?
Well, you can be on any committee. You can be on any community, any committee in the community that you'd like. I mean, that the Harbor District doesn't dictate what you
unless I'm asking to represent you on what I would think I need specific permissions to be that, to say I'm a Harbor Commissioner serving on this.
Well, my recommendation. Well,
like if you were to be the alternate for REDAC, yeah, then we have to vote on that.
Oh. Yeah, there are some community boards, whether they be JPAs or otherwise, that have special district seats on them. And so in that vein, the board would appoint you to be the district's representative on that community board. If we don't have, like, for example, the Sea Level Rise,
Sea Level Rise Institute.
you would be, I mean, in your public role, you would serve on that committee. You wouldn't necessarily act on behalf of the Harbor District unless the commission voted to delegate some authority to you or to take a certain position on something. But certainly you would be on the committee, and as part of your resume, it would be Harbor District Commission. But you wouldn't have any official role on that committee as a president.
And you probably want to make clear once in a while, I don't speak for the Harbor District. Shit like that. Okay.
Yeah, I would say that, just on the other hand, you have every right to propose the creation of new subcommittees, or that the Harbor District
go or bring an agenda,
point somebody to a subcommittee. So that's, and that's all our suggestion.
Or to bring agenda items to the board, yeah. And then we can, if you'd like a committee, a subcommittee created, or an item to be put on the agenda and discussed or acted upon.
You know, the 2x2 committee, because you're District 4 representative, a relationship with the city of Eureka is very, very important. So that might be something where you step in, Richard.
And sea level rise is something that we've had a committee before on sea level rise. I've been on that. And it's something that we participated in. It kind of fell apart during COVID, the beginning of COVID. And it also, man, I don't know if we think how much we can talk about this tonight, but that's one of those things that honestly is something the Harbor District is very attuned to and participates in, but it's probably not within our regulatory purview to address. We can help.
So a couple things on this is that, generally speaking, a subcommittee, is a committee is two. So if it's just you, then I wouldn't necessarily say that's a subcommittee, right?
But we can get
and the subcommittee is usually so you can get, you know, you don't have a quorum of the board, and then they're working on an item. And then another kind of item is that if you look like on the bottom of the very first one, you'll notice that Aaron is the liaison. So it's not a subcommittee. So then, like, a lot of times the board may appoint, like, as an example, if somebody wanted to be like Redwood Coast Energy Authority or RCAA or somebody, then you could be the liaison, and then you may, you know, participate in those meetings, and you've been formally appointed like the liaison for those, where there's some organizations. And so, you know, there's a variety of different things, but generally the subcommittee is a subcommittee on the board that is working on that. And then they may have other people, you know, such as the pilot advisory committee, that there's other non-board members that have been appointed to that subcommittee to work on. So, but we could work on whether it would be a subcommittee or a liaison or what it would be.
It's great to have somebody kind of coming on with like more energy to put in to the circle here on subcommittees. And when we had lunch, he described his passion for recreation. Well, if you want a recreation committee, then you need a whole agenda. So you kind of, what are tangible steps? What are things in our capacity right now that we could be doing more? Who are other interested parties in the community or other commissioners that want to participate? And then looking forward, like when we have a surplus, do we want to capitalize the art restoration? So it could be like forward looking, where we can't do a lot right now, but we can plan for something like, if we get a bay trail, one of the key things that comes up again and again and again is like, who's going to maintain it? We have a cash flow surplus, we can take it on, it's in our title. We have countywide jurisdiction. So just kind of, I love these possibilities. And I think that, you know, you'll find your niche.
Yeah.
And then we'll, you know, this is sometimes a new board member, depending on where you're stepping in. I mean, we want to empower you. We want to inform you. We want to work with you so that you can find your best outlet as a board member and contributing and helping us maybe fulfill some of these things where we haven't had the opportunity before because we're in a different economic circumstance. So I see it opening up. We'll have assets that maybe at our discretion to play more of a key role, things like, you know, restoration,
And then the conservation one actually overlaps with climate change. And that's such a big enchilada. We've never been staffed since it'd be like they'll eat. But, you know, when you look at the fact that we're kind of multi-jurisdictional with the Bay, we do make sense in that regard. So
I just wanted to float that question. Just it'll help me put together maybe a proposal for next month. Or just think about or think which of these committees I might want to
good
thank you. My head. So thank
and,
you for
and all that information. All these committees, they go through periods of activity and periods of less activity. And so they
got a passion for dredging. I could probably give an issue.
All right. Any other
usually
item
about a billion cubic yards, and it just doesn't make that.
Oh yeah, that's
why the labor relations
100,000. We take 100,000.
I like yeah. Well, that one's coming. That one's we are that committee is going to be given the workout this summer.
We're getting ready to be exercising.
Oh, yeah, we're meeting again coming up here soon.
Yeah, you agreed.
Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, we're gonna negotiate a contract.
Yes,
you agreed.
Brian's all over that side. All right. Any future agenda items anybody would like to see on here? And you don't have to speak up tonight. You can always ask for a future agenda item. Typically, it's 2 weeks. So it gives Larry time to get it on the agenda. We can advance.
And for every time this question has been raised, I've always said the long pins no, but I don't have to. Making progress. There'll be a report back.
They report on Longfin Smelt every month, every 2 weeks for Patrick, for all of us.
We need to put them on a pizza.
Longfin Smelt.
Let me turn off the mic.
All right. So and typically the way that works is you contact Larry or me, either one, or you speak up in here. But during the week, if you say, hey, I'd like to get this on the agenda, Larry will set it up. The chair and the ED make up the agenda. We don't keep anything off, any items off. If you want to talk about
Friday,
that, we talk
Friday
about
before it. The board.
Well, earlier than that.
Yeah, earlier than that. That's what I'm saying.
But, yeah. Minnie, I would put Minnie on any email you send to anybody. Okay. Just because
I met already.
Yeah. All right. That's it. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.